Thank you. Oh my God.
Oh. Let's do a selfie.
Oh my God, you got it. Oh, okay. We did it. Let's get out of here, man.
Where are we going?
Sisters of the Brave Beaver. Chupacabra Hills.
Let's play offense. Siri, Sisters of the Brave Beaver.
Chupacabra Hills.
Chupacabra.
Okay. Not every day you get to rescue a 75er.
Twice in the same day. Let's rock and fucking roll!
Yeah.
Let's go!
Alright, how's it going? I'm back here on my bullshit, another patented solo cast. Didn't get to record an episode last week, and nobody's fault, really. If anybody's fault, it was Patrick's Day fault. But I won't dwell on the details, but figured I'd get something out. A few little SOBs out there. And that clip I started of it was the... Best Picture winning, one battle after another, won 6 Oscars in total. Let's just talk about the Oscars for a little bit, because we might talk about it when we're back in stewed, me and Cantwell, but we did it, you know. We got PTA his 3 Oscars. He'd never won an Oscar before that. Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Director, Best Picture, boom, boom, boom. Deservedly so, in my opinion. It won 6 in total, like I said. It won Best Editing, Best Casting, and I can't remember what else. I call myself a film buff. Some other below-the-line awards. And then on the other side of it, the other big contender was Sinners, which won Best Original Screenplay. It won Best Cinematography, Best Score, and Best Actor from my man, Michael B. Jordan. Now, on our last episode, we did predictions. I think we did 8 in total, and I went 7 for 8. And what I got wrong was Best Supporting Actor. And, you know, I'm gonna say, like, I felt a little bit rushed by Cantwell on this pick. I plumped for Tiana Taylor. But I really, afterwards, I was kicking myself because, Amy Madigan, wife of our fave Ed Harris, won for Weapons, where she plays Aunt Gladys. And I've talked about Weapons a couple of times, but I've not really brought up Aunt Gladys because she is a bit of a spoiler to the movie. I don't know. She's a big presence in the movie, and it's better if you don't. If you know as little enough about Aunt Gladys before watching that movie, but it's an incredible performance. And just delighted that, the Harris household has an Oscar sitting there. Our boy Ed has been nominated 4 times. Pollock, which he also directed and starred in. Apollo 13. Truman Show. And The Hours, of course. You couldn't forget that. Memorable performance, even though Nicole Kidman won for the big nose. The nose did play. Those are the 2 big movies that dominated. I was delighted to see Michael B. Jordan win. He gave a great speech. Timmy. You know, the tide had turned on him. Maybe he'll win for Dune 3 next year, when Lisan Al-Ghaib, you know, back. He's a bit more of a... although... If you've seen the first 2 movies, he's a savior that maybe has gone a bit cuckoo. Anyway, what else happened at it? Jesse Buckley, who had won all the awards beforehand, won for Hamnet. Still haven't seen it. Dead kid stuff, as I get older, is harder for me to watch. I'll get there. Sean Penn won. Oh, that was the 6th award for One Battle. Sean Penn for Best Supporting Actor. Didn't go to my boy Benicio, but Sean Penn is incredible in that movie as well. Didn't show up because he was meeting with Vladimir Zelensky. What a life this man leads. Like, just the rest of us are out here, living our lives, and this guy is visiting war zones. and is also a bit of a fucking maniac. I did think it was a little bit childish of Kieran Culkin to just be like, couldn't be here, or I didn't want to be here, or whatever. I'm just like, I'm sick of this fucking little prick, like, you know? Oh, boo-hoo, you didn't get to give the award to somebody. Stop being a little worm. I've turned on him. I'll put it out there now. I've turned on him. But yeah, it was a fairly predictable K-pop. Demon Hunters won Best Animated Feature, Best Song. As much as I like the songs, and we do play them a lot in the house, I think I Lied to You by Miles Keaton from Sinners would be my favourite movie song of the year, because it's just fucking incredible. But new Oscar category should be best use of a song in a movie, because a few great tunes. Just be a fun category to put in. I know you're kind of going into MTV Movie Awards territory, but yeah, so they're over. It was a long, like, it's too late in the year. It's like with the League Cup being moved up to late March. Like, what are we doing? This shit used to happen in February, and we were all happy with it. Now it's just, it feels like it's dragging on internally. I'll talk about a few things I've been watching, as per usual, and I'll wrap it up. Just a little one to keep us ticking over, you know. I had this rant planned for Andy, but I'll just get it out here, get it out of my system. I watched, because I am a sick man, I watched Wicked for Good, the sequel to last year's Wicked Part 1, no Part 2. So, sorry, I just had to take a drink to psych myself up here to go through this. This movie stinks. It's even worse than the first movie. The songs are all terrible. It's 2 hours, 15 minutes. It feels like it's 4 hours. I gave it a dreaded 1 star, I think, on Letterboxd. But there's a bit that absolutely popped me. I did not know the premise of the second movie was that the Wizard of Oz is running concurrently through this. So I thought it was all, you know, the first movie is set before Wizard of Oz, and then there is a time jump. But I didn't think, like, in the movie, like, literally, Dorothy shows up, and you never hear her speak. You kind of see her. It's kind of like the parents from Peanuts, where you just see, like, her body, or like her head, like her skipping along in her ruby slippers. But one of the again, these are based off a book that somebody wrote that then was adapted into a stage musical, and the musical differs from the book quite a bit, apparently. But the musical incorporates the fact that, like, characters from the first act of the play, and in this case the first film, like, one of them is a munchkin guy, he gets turned into the Tin Man, and in a scene, I'm just going to give it out of context, like, Elphaba, who is the Wicked Witch, her sister, so Elphaba is the Wicked Witch of the West, I'm trying to untangle this myself, her sister is the woman that the house falls on at the start of Wizard of Oz, so I think she's the Wicked Witch of the East, and the whole thing is they're learning how to use a spell book or something, and Elphaba's sister likes this munchkin guy, but he doesn't like her back, and she casts a spell to try and make him fall in love with her or something, but in the process it's like, my heart is shrinking, ugh. So Elphaba tries to save him, but she doesn't know what she's doing, really, and in turn turns him into the Tin Man, right? Ridiculous enough. But then there's the sister is waiting outside while this is happening in, like, a room. And then, like, Elphaba exits and she's like, he's resting. Like, as if she's a doctor and he's just had an operation. And then
And then a couple of minutes later, I don't think this is intentional, but he picks up an axe, the Tin Man, and like breaks through the door a la Jack Nicholson in The Shining. All he's short of saying is, "Here's Johnny." He like puts his head in the door frame and is like vows revenge against Elphaba, becomes into this kind of psycho killer for the next couple of scenes that he has. And I was just sitting here watching, like, what the fuck? Like, I felt like the guy in Something About Mary, like, what the hell were you thinking? Garbage movie. No Oscar nominations after the first one got 10. Don't watch it. And don't let anybody tell you it's good. That's the other thing. I had people saying the first one was good. The first one was not good, in my opinion. And then, I don't know if anybody, people in work saw it and they're like, "Oh, I really liked it." I'm like, okay, I'll have to watch it to see. You know, I'll preface it that I was folding clothes while this was while I was watching it. But normally if a movie's good, you know, it'll suck me in and I will get involved. This did not do that. So it's probably the worst movie I've seen this year. But the best movie I've seen this year is a little movie called Nirvana the Band, the Show, the Movie. And I talked about it on one of my previous episodes that like I had started to watch the TV series because I was getting bombarded with like clips from it in anticipation of the movie being released. And this is the funniest movie I've seen all year. It's the first 5-star movie I've put down this year on Letterboxd. The premise of the TV show is Matt and Bird, his buddy, Matt and Jay, Jay Bird, they are in the band, Nirvana the band, and they come up with these schemes to play this club called the Rivoli. So every episode is like a new plan. And one of the episodes is like, we'll make a movie and get it into Sundance and be famous, and then that will give us the juice to play the river. Like all these, you know, extravagant things they do. But part of how they make the movies is they mix in themselves acting on the street with real people. Like they're, you know, reacting with real people there. And a lot of the movie is like this. And I don't know how they filmed lots of this stuff. Like it's truly incredible filmmaking that they're able to make it coherent and make it seem a piece. But you're also like there's a point where they go up, because it's all set in Toronto, they go up to the Skywalk, I think it is, overlooking the fucking the Sky Dome, and the plan is to parachute off there and land on the stadium with a banner saying they're playing the Rivoli or whatever. And the two people up on that, and you know, they jump off and they parachute off, and I'm like, who is that? How did they get permission to do that? You know, for a movie that has a budget of €1 million or $1 million, you know, it's very run and gun, but it's also so fucking funny. It just tickles me. It's that sensibility, and it's really entertaining. And essentially, the movie is Back to the Future, is what it is. And If you can do Back to the Future well, because it's one of the best movies ever made, if you can do a parody of that, or like even get like a tenth of the energy, I mean, this is like a great time travel movie, because it shouldn't work, and yet it does perfectly. And I believe they've filmed so much stuff that they are going to be doing a season 3. He basically said it's an alternate cut of the movie that he's going to be putting together to make a season 3 of the show, which I'm very excited about. And yeah, it was just nice. It's nice to watch funny people make funny movies. Remember we had that, like I was talking about Ace Ventura in my last episode. Like I rewatched at the weekend the first Ace Ventura, it was on TV. I caught it from about 15 minutes in. sure, the trans stuff doesn't age well, but some of the jokes in it, like, it's a better movie than the second movie. I think maybe the second movie has more slapstick laugh out loud moments, but like, some of the little bits in the first one where he shows up to, you know, Ray Finkel's house and he's like, I'm looking for Ray Finkel, and then just the shotgun is pointed in his face and a clean pair of shorts, you know, it just, I don't know, it just reminded me of like, oh, we used to have big comedy stars, you know. Jim Carrey paved the way for Adam Sandler, who paved the way for, you know, Ben Stiller, who paved the way for Will Ferrell, who paved the way for, you know, Seth Rogen and all those people. And that was kind of where it ended. Like, there's nobody out there doing 15 to 30 million dollar budget comedies that would gross, you know, five times that. I think it's just because people have become accustomed to just watching a comedy at home on Netflix or Prime Video, whatever they make them. They're never as good. And I generally think there's a lot less funny people out there these days, which stinks. But we'll always have the old movies, I guess, to watch. Tone Loc is in the first movie. Tone Loc, the bit at the end where Ace reveals that Lieutenant Lois Einhorn is actually Ray Finkel, and like, it cuts to Tone Loc with his whole four fingers on his tongue and his eyes bulging out of his head, being like, la, 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 la. Great stuff. Couldn't do it today. Also, huge, there's a lot of plot holes in that movie. I still think it's good. I still think the premise is quite excellent, but like, the idea that Ray Finkel would like break out of a mental institution, steal a woman who's gone missing, like a hiker's identity. She goes, Lois Einhorn is gone missing after a hiking incident in the woods, and within 8 years she has been able to become a lieutenant in the Miami PD department, on closer scrutiny maybe it doesn't hold up, but it's really enjoyable. We took a vote on the old Patreon. If you want to get involved, you know, follow us over there at What's So Great About on Patreon, where you can sign up for a low little fee of €5 a month. But we took a vote on the Patreon because we're swapping out, well, we the option to swap out one of our Matt Damon movies, The Informant, swapped out, and we are going with The Bourne Ultimatum. It was resoundingly picked by our lovely patrons. I had said on our Bourne Ultimate, our Bourne Identity episode over behind the paywall, that I was immediately watched the second movie after I watched the first one, Bourne Supremacy. It is a better movie, I will say. There's more Brian Cox in it, which is always a plus for me. And like, I say this about the Bourne movies, and I have said it, and I will continue to say it. The thing I love about it is the stiffs, the suits, you know what I mean? These guys that like are quick-witted, and they, you know, they talk about nation states and stuff like that. And you know, the movie introduces Pamela Landy, who's a section chief, and she's trying to catch Bourne because he's been framed in the movie, and Brian Cox is kind of undermining her the whole time, but he has a great like one-liner. He's like, you're standing in a pile of shit and you don't have the shoes for it. I was like, oh, fucking Tony Gilroy, man. He knows how to write a movie. So I'm looking forward to doing the third one. Like I say, you can follow us over there. €5 a month gets you access to all our back catalogue. We've got WSGA. That's What's So Great About Marvel. What's So Great About 90s Action. What's So Great About Ryan Gosling. He's got a new movie coming out. Excited to see it. Project Hail Mary. Catch it in the cinemas. Apparently, it had the biggest non-IP opening since Oppenheimer, 80 million last weekend. Gosling's back. He needed a win. He needed a big movie, to be honest. He's back. We've got What's So Great About Big Willie's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bad Movies. And we got What's So Great About the films of Tony Scott, What's So Great About Heist Movies, and What's So Great About the Year 2007. And of course, we're in the middle of our Matt Damon miniseries. Next up is The Departed, which I am going to be like Danny McBride in This Is The End, and I'm just going to be everywhere talking about this movie. I'm doing a hand motion. If you've seen the movie, I don't want to say the words, but if you've seen the movie, him and Franco have an exchange where they talk about putting stuff everywhere. That's going to be me, because I love that movie. What else has been going on? Football. Yeah, we'll get into it. And we'll talk more about it, but I'll just talk about maybe the League Cup final yesterday. Delighted that the quadruple is off. I'll say that. For my Arsenal friends out there, commiserations, but also, yeah, City deserved it, I guess, to beat you 2-0. Bit of a howler from your keeper. I'm just relieved that the quadruple is not on. Probably winning the league. That's about it. That's fine. I've made my peace with that. Hopefully not the Champions League. I'll tell you something. They'll need to pull up their socks if they want to, you know, win the FA Cup and Champions League. After that performance on Sunday, they need to take a hard look at themselves. Wrestling. AEW had their biggest pay-per-view in a long time. They had the return of Will Ospreay. If you're a British wrestling fan, you know, that's a pretty big deal. He's pretty incredible. Ronda Rousey made an appearance. Looks like they had something planned for her. Maybe that's been put on pause now, but it just felt like one of those big-time WrestleMania-esque shows. I mean, not WrestleMania, but like a Royal Rumble or something like that. Their version of it. I had a good time. And I'm still chugging away. I'm still fighting for this title with AEW. WWE, on the other hand, they're WrestleMania. Like, they've only 5 matches announced, and it's soon. It's been pretty underwhelming. Triple H has seemingly lost the juice of what he had as a booker, if he ever had it. They've had a bad year. What else? Let me just... I'll wrap it up with... My kids are kind of scared of a lot of stuff. And they don't like to try new movies. They're very comfortable with what they like, and then even stuff that they used to like, they're like, that's scary. I'm like, all right, it's not really, come on. Like, but a big one in the house that I was trying to get done was Aladdin, and my little girl who's 6 was afraid of it, and I think it was because she'd seen the clips of like the sand tiger, you know, the Cave of Wonders, and I don't think she liked the look of Jafar. Now we got it going, you know. This was Patrick's evening. We watched it, and they fucking loved it. And you know, I loved it too. But it got me thinking. And I might have talked about this before, about how it really was the beginning of the end in terms of voice actors, because the other day I came home, they had Super Mario on, which is a fine, grand movie. But you have people acting in that movie, voice actors, that, like Chris Pratt doing the voice of Mario, and I've talked about it before, terrible. And really doesn't fit the character for me at all. He did it for Garfield as well. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how does this guy keep getting these voice? But like, previously that would have been, I'd say before Robin Williams, would have been, you know, somebody who's trained to be a voice actor. Robin Williams was really the catalyst that like kicked through, that it's like a celebrity voice actor. Ooh, like that's the kind of person you want doing it, that is capable, that can, like, you know, the whole thing was that apparently they had to, like, redo storyboards because his improv was, you know, so incredible. They were like, okay, well, we have to reanimate it to match what he's saying. And he is, it's, you know, it's so good. And then you have, like, Gilbert Gottfried as Iago. Again, like, who would fill that today? Something, I mean, who did do it? Actually, let me look it up now in the live action remake, which, you know, I still never got through all of it. Who was Iago? Here we go. What? There's no Iago? Oh, for God's sake. That's another reason why I don't watch that movie. Anyway, it's great. It still holds up. The songs are so good, you know. And it's no coincidence all the best ones, in my opinion, are done by Musker and Clements. That's the directing duo. They did Aladdin. They did Hercules. They've done Moana. They've done Princess and the Frog. They did another big one that I can't quite remember. But they were really a key part of the Golden Generation. And I just loved the animation. You know, it was, I'd love if somebody to go back to do a bit of hand-drawn animation. Like, you get it in Studio Ghibli. Incredible stuff. And yeah, I mean, it just made me wistful for everything that was going on in the 90s. Like, just, we really had it all back then. And, well, now, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Everything's okay now. You know, there's not World War III going. I'll tell you what, you know, apparently Trump got himself, or he's getting himself out of this quagmire that he entered into. But, look, not to get political. If it brings down the price of my petrol, great. But, yeah, that's it. I'm going to go. We'll be back next week with two of us in Stewed. I'm sure we'll have a lot to catch up about, talk about. Like I said, you can get us over on the Patreon for the low, low fee of €5 a month over there, or you can give me a rating, a review. 5 stars only would be preferable. It really helps grow the pod, or give us a tag on the old social medias, you know, that's all that good stuff there. And I hope you're looking after yourselves, and fucking, it'll be Easter before we know it, huh? Don't eat too many Easter eggs. They're bad for you. And, like, they make them so cheap. Like, I saw it was like three small Easter eggs for a fiver. I was like, well, you're begging me to eat those eggs for that price. The Easter eggs used to be expensive. That was the whole thing. I don't want things to be more expensive, but that's too far the other way. I'll eat too much chocolate and be sick. Anyway, thanks for listening to the demented ramblings of a madman, a 40-year-old madman. I will talk to you real soon. Goodbye.
Sometimes late when things are real and people share the gift of gab between themselves. Some are quick to take the bait and catch the perfect prize that waits among the shells. But Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. And cause never was a reason for the evening, or the Tropic of Sir Galahad. So please
believe in me when I say I'm spinning round, 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 round. Smoke glass stained bright curl, image going down, 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 down. Soap sud green like a. Oh, Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. And cause never was a reason for the evening or the Tropic of Sir Galahad. So please believe in me when I say I'm spinning round, 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 round. Smoke glass stained black cup, image going down. Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. And cause never was the reason for the evening or the Tropic of Sir Galahad.